Johnny sempre poca lara del Marveni. Si ci picchia bandi, si è poca lara, picchiami.
Oh, mama, 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 mama. Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And of course, what another week. Here we are on Wednesday, the day after Super Tuesday. Or is it Stupid Tuesday? Because that's all it's become in my eyes, the presidential reality show. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools. Yep. And so here we are. Looks like Trump and Clinton. That's the way it's shaping up. And you know my campaign slogan for 2016. Trump or Clinton? Hitler or Hitlery? I was doing a radio show this morning out of here in upstate New York in Kingston, Colonial Kingston. WGHQ, the Kingston radio station. It's a great station, actually. The fellow, Walter, does everything he can to help the city move forward, and he really puts his passion and heart into it. And they had another guest there. And everything I said, because he's a Democrat, you know, he kept trying to argue with me. I can't stand this stuff. You know, if you, I don't want to hear your political religion. Let's just stick to the facts. So, of course, when I said Hitlery, oh, the guy got all tight, you know. Okay, so I had to explain to him the blood on her hands. And, of course, you know, everyone knows that, who listens to Progressive Radio Network, knows of that clip of her on CBS. We've talked about it all the time. When her name comes up and talk about warmongering. On CBS, when she was asked how she felt when Gaddafi was killed, sodomized with a bayonet. And she said, "We see, we came, we saw, he died. That wasn't good enough for this guy." So then I had to go into, do you remember the Bill Clinton bombing Iraq? Right after he got elected, bombs away over Baghdad. No fly zones. People forgot that one. They forgot Bill Clinton's sanctions on Iraq. Over 500,000 children under the age of five died, according to the United Nations. And, of course, Madeleine Albright saying it was worth the price when asked that question on, again, on 60 Minutes on CBS. By Leslie Stahl. So it's Hitler or Hitlery. And I'm sick of this Trump. We're going to build this military. We're going to kick the ass out of ISIS. And he keeps talking about what a great deal maker he is. He's a real estate developer. Let's get this straight. And again, the guy born on third base and thought he hit a home run. There's a thing floating around the internet, you know, on Donald Trump's, what his butler had to say about him. Butler? How many people you have? How many people have butlers? And when he was married to Ivanka Trump, they had four butlers. These people are totally out of tune with we the little people. The arrogance of this guy. The arrogance. And all he does is he just throws out one-liners and keeps repeating the same words over and over again. As I listened to that, his speech last night, you know, it was one line after another, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again, you know. Yeah. How sensational and how terrific and how incredible and how amazing and how wonderful and how great and how fantastic. And he goes on, you know, Sarah Palin couldn't be. Everybody loves Sarah Palin. What do you mean everybody loves Sarah Palin? Maybe everybody, you know, with a brain the size of a gnat. How about speaking for yourself? I'm sick of these politicians. Our military is in bad shape, he goes on to say. In bad shape. We spend more money than all the countries almost combined. on our military. Our military are losers. Can anybody say that? They haven't won anything. And all they do is keep coming back with more plans to murder more. And he's going to do it better than anybody, folks. And then, of course, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, with her murderous Libyan war, the Gaddafi has to go, Assad has to go, that war, the support for the Iraq war. Looks like bye-bye Bernie. Yeah, Bernie's flamed out, the Bernie burn. Again, a one-act play. I'm going to give you free education? You're going to get free health care? You know, save your Coney Island act, Bernie. It didn't work. What a disgrace. Again, could you imagine Eisenhower among these people? It's really a symbol of the whole decline of America in grace and style and elegance. Anyway, it's... I'm reading Trump, again, what he said yesterday. He goes on to say, we're going to make, you know, Trump said the American people need wealth again to rise. Quote, we're going to make our country rich again. We're going to make our country great again. And we need the rich in order to make the great. I am sorry to tell you. Oh, you're sorry to tell me? We need the rich, all you little people in Slavelandia. We know what's best for you. A guy born on third base and thought he had a home run. His old man left him between the family between an estimated 200 to $400 million. His father had a real estate empire in New York, from Brooklyn to Queens, throughout the city. A little spoiled boy. We need the rich in order to make the great. I am sorry to tell you. I am sorry to tell you that that's when America has become so low. Everything has been for the rich. We, the little people, get shafted at every little turn and corner. Look what's going on with interest rates. The banksters have murdered Main Street. You know, once upon a time, in a pre-smartphone and Facebook age, as little workers of the world, and we had an extra bit of cash, you know, we'd put it in the bank. Yeah, they had a thing called savings accounts. Or you'd buy a certificate of deposit. Yeah, it was a safe way, you know, low risk and a moderate return on investment. Modest, but there. No risk. Those days are gone. Because we need the rich in order to make the great. I'm sorry to tell you, says Trump. So what they did, how the banksters murdered Main Street, they gave us zero interest rate policies. So you can't put your money in a bank and get anything. Of course, now they raised it a measly, you know, 25 basis points, 0.25%. Still don't get anything back. And over in Europe, they got negative interest rates. Negative interest rates in Sweden, negative interest rates in Switzerland, Denmark. And of course, the European Central Bank last week further lowered the deposit rate into negative territory. So what they've done by zero interest rate policies is they've merely propped up the stock markets because it allows the Wall Street gamblers to keep gambling while it robs the Main Street savers. This is a war against We the people, the little people, the savers. Again. And we need the rich in order to make the great. I'm sorry to tell you. The arrogance that this cat throws out with every line. You listen to me. I'm sorry to tell you. Now get back into your corner. Hey, maybe send one of your butlers out to go shine your shoes. So, remember, the stock market since 7 years ago, a week ago, from 7 years ago, has been on a 200% tear. Well, 95% of the wealth created during that time has gone to 1%. We need the rich in order to make the great. Hey, they got rich, all right. While our wages, in real terms, median household income, is below 1999 levels. And what else? Mergers and acquisitions. They just keep going on every day, virtually, because they're borrowing money for nothing. So the banksters murdered Main Street and robbed us of our money to enrich Wall Street. So that's the presidential reality show. And now Clinton, I got a kick out of her listening to her. I'm a real progressive, she says. You know, she sure is. Excuse me. Sip of water here. So, it's been a long day of radio for me, and we keep going on. And I was at an Italian-American meeting last night in Ulster County and speaking there, so my voice is a little raspy today. Anyway, when you listen to the policies of the presidential candidates, it's more of the same but worse. Hillary Clinton calling herself a progressive. Yeah, you remember her husband, right? The wars he started, the Bosnian War, the wonderful... Hey, all you liberals, you like those GMOs? Now, that's a progressive movement for you. Yeah, brought to you by the Clintons. Bovine growth hormones, you love those too, don't you? Hey, it makes them cows produce more. Helps our farmers make more in big agriculture. Progressive. Yeah, the deregulation of the communications industry. Deregulation of the banking industry. One criminal act after another, and they call themselves progressives. And, you know, watching this whole thing on TV last night and seeing how it's run by these six major corporations that control the media is disgusting. There's no outrage. And listening to their speeches, what a farce. Again, more of the same, but worse. And when you hear an arrogant guy like Trump laying down his lines, it's astounding that he gets away with it. And one after another. And by the way, in one area I do stand with Trump. And that is these people going in and disturbing his campaign stops. I mean, the guy's paying for space or going to space, and people are going there to hear him. And, you know, to have people disrupt them, you know, it's rude. If you want to hold your own rally to disagree with him, fine. But that's his space, whether it's his or any other of the candidates. And to put this into perspective, suppose you go to a town hall meeting. You can't get out of line. They'll lock you up. School board meeting, get out of line. They lock you up. The people are going there to hear him. So to disrupt it in that fashion, I'm against that. You know, if you don't like him, which I wouldn't vote for this guy. You know, if he was I won't vote for any of them, none of the ones standing. The only two people I would have voted for was Ron Paul and Ralph Nader. And those are the last two presidential candidates that I would have voted for. I did vote for Ralph Nader, of course, when he ran. But I wouldn't vote for Trump. You know, it's the presidential reality show, a term that we coined and trademarked over a year ago and before Trump got into the race. And now, of course, he's in it. And he's a true reality show champion. And he knows how to play the game. And that's all it is. So it's quite sad to see how low America has stooped. But, you know, again, in virtually every level. We had a St. Patrick's Day parade here up in Colonial Kingston last week. And I'm looking at the floats and, you know, the kids on them. And so many obese little kids and obese adults. It was one after another. It wasn't always like this. It's so sad. And this parade really, you know, it was a joke after a while. They used to have a lot of marching bands and all these great floats. It was one advertisement after another. You know, Honda, Kingston Honda or whatever, you know, Frank's Tree Service, you know, they slap a shamrock on the side of the truck, you know, Mario's Plumbing Supplies. I mean, you know, it was a joke. Fire trucks, you know, Napanon. I see fire trucks all along. You know, if it's an old fire truck, great, you know. But new fire trucks, you know, blowing their horns, my ears hurt. From the sirens going off right next to you, and the tow truck operators, you know, Frankie's tow trucks. I mean, who cares? But the whole level has declined of society, where grace and dignity and elegance is lost. Just, you could go on, you see Marco Rubio, who bowed out, little Marco, as Trump called him, bragging about the size of his hands, Trump. You know, it's not the only thing that isn't small. Ha, 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 ha. And he's drinking out of a styrofoam cup. You see pictures of Trump. He's drinking out of plastic cups, Diet Coke. And look at him. Does he look like a healthy man to you? I wonder what kind of drugs he's on, man. Nobody talks about clean food. Nobody talks about buying local. No one talks about spirituality and morality. I'm a deal maker, and I'll do anything that I can do if the law allows it to make the best deal. No, sorry, man. I'm sorry to tell you, he says, and we need rich in order to make the great. I say we need the great in order to make the great. The great philosophers had to be rich. How about having a rich mind? And that's all this country has become, a bottom line mentality. And the rich is at the top of the bottom line. The bottom line, the rich, in order to make the great. How disgusting. How disgusting. If you're not rich, then you don't count. If you're a person of morality and not means, we don't need you. You can't make the great. All you teachers out there, get away, get away, quit your jobs. You're not rich. You can't make the great. All you preachers, stop preaching. You're not rich. You can't make the great. Only us rich guys, born on third base, thought we hit a home run. Daddy left me all this dough, and I'm rich, and I'm a deal maker. You're a real estate developer, and you build ugly junk. Take a trip down the west side. Look at your square buildings, man. They're as square as you. No heart, no soul. But we need the rich. Yep. And that's what's happened to America. So on to some other news. You know, what's going on over there in Turkey is quite disturbing. Over the weekend, there was another bombing in Ankara that killed a few dozen people and destroyed the place. And you have to go back. Tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. And when you look at what's going on in Ankara, all you have to do is go back to June of 2015. It's not ancient history, of course. The president over there, prime minister, president, Erdogan's party, he's both prime minister and president at one time, hold both roles, had lost to the Kurdish party to an extent where the Kurdish party got enough votes that he lost his ability to continue to rule the country as a sovereign dictatorship. And what happened was then he started to ratchet up the war against the separatist Kurds. Out of nowhere, there'd been peace. And, of course, it keeps escalating and escalating. So now, of course, they've destroyed many Kurdish cities. You never see it on the news. And, of course, Erdogan is quite responsible as well for the problems going on in Syria with the overthrow of Assad, who he has vowed to do, along with President Obama, where Assad has to go. That's his quote, along with Kerry and Clinton. And you can see what it's wrought, the total destruction of, not the total destruction, but mass destruction of Syria, nearly 5 million refugees, 11 to 15 million displaced people, and ancient cities, and more modern cities destroyed. So Ankara, after the bombing, Turkey struck at Kurdish rebel PKK. So they didn't find the person responsible for the bombing that killed, you know, scores of people. But they had a, quote, suspected bomber. So suspected bombers are okay. You could suspect anybody and kill them, just as President Obama does with his wonderful Terror Tuesdays when he signs off on those drone strikes to kill, quote, suspected militants. Remember, if you're suspected of anything, you're guilty in the New World Order of mad men and mad women running the show. So in retaliation, they bomb Kurdish areas. And they always give this line, whether it's the lines from the United States or Saudi Arabia or any mad nation, particularly those that we love to support, as the ones I just mentioned, Turkey being our great ally, along with the Saudis. Warplanes strike PKK camps. Yeah, they're always camps, training camps, yeah, and compounds. I mean, come on. What are these, West Point that they're hitting? They're bombing the cities into oblivion. It's modern-day Dresden. They're destroying entire cities. And again, no group admitted carrying out the attack on the Turkish capital. But, hey, those government sources says it's the PKK. So let's murder more people. And that's the name of the game. Murder Incorporated. The investigation is still ongoing. Yep, they haven't gotten anybody. But they're slaughtering people. No one claimed responsibility. But Erdogan said he would forcibly crack down on Kurdish militants. It's okay for them to kill, but when you kill back, nobody likes it. So this whole area, the reason I'm mentioning this, is that it's really a destabilized situation, as is the Middle East, and it's only getting worse. And all they do to fight wars is to make them larger. Quote, our people should not worry. The struggle against terrorism will for certain end in success, and terrorism will be brought to its knees. Hey, what did Trump say that? No, that's Erdogan. I get it mixed up. Yep. So it's one suicide attack after another. And remember, last October, over 100 people were killed when it was a peaceful Kurdish rally. Imagine that, rallying for peace, and 100 people are killed. Yeah, I wonder who did that one, Erdogan. And these are our allies that you hear the presidential puppets over there in the reality show say we have to support. I don't support murderers. And you look at what the outcome of this, and you read the headlines. Smugglers sense opportunity as borders shut. Stranded migrants grow, desperate to move on regardless of danger. One story after another. Migrants form a human chain, but some are swept away. Hundreds of migrants braved a fast-moving river to cross from Greece to Macedonia, defying efforts by European officials to stop people fleeing war and desperation from traveling through the Balkans to Germany and other destinations. Huh. People fleeing war and desperation. Hey, who started these wars? Let's not talk about that. We're going to melt ISIS. We're going to destroy them. We're going to eliminate them. We're going to wipe them off the map. Wait a minute. Wasn't it you guys, you Europeans, along with the United States and its coalition of the killing, that created this problem by supporting the overthrow of Assad, by destroying the most prosperous nation in the Middle East, in Africa, Libya, and of course Syria was among the most prosperous, well-educated, and advanced countries in that area. Certainly a better government that we want to overthrow than that dictatorship they call the king of Saudi Arabia, or the Emirates. Yeah, those kings are okay. Those are good kings. They're not dictators. No. They're just a bunch of fine, fine folks. So nobody talks about who caused this problem. The destruction of Libya. And who did the United States support to overthrow that, along with France and England? Yep, they're moderate rebels. Yes, better known as Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, and ISIS. The people that Gaddafi was fighting, the United States supported to overthrow him. And then they moved into Syria.
And now Libya is in total destruction. And now the United States and its coalition of the killing, according to new reports, are ready to invade. Maybe another humanitarian mission to bring peace, stability, and democracy back to Libya after the United States destroyed it. Yeah, you remember. A humanitarian mission. And none of the people in Europe, the leaders of the countries, will admit their role in the destruction. How about Iraq? Yep. How about all that coalition of the killing that joined that one? Over 1 million people dead, entire country destroyed. You think the people want to leave? Would you leave your home if it was being bombed? And try to get to anywhere you can that was a safe harbor? How about Afghanistan? Does anybody talk about that anymore? Hey, but the word is, build up in Afghanistan, and we're going to stay there even longer. But you remember Obama promised we'd be out of there by now. Here's from the New York Times. The closing of Europe's main migrant route to Germany has stranded more than 40,000 in Greece. Hundreds of thousands more from Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and a host of other countries across the Middle East and Africa risk being bottled up in Turkey. Huh. Hundreds of thousands more from Afghanistan. Why are they leaving Afghanistan? I don't understand it. And we got to get that bin Laden, I tell you. Yeah, you remember how the whole people in the United States, over 80% of them, almost 90, supported that lovely war in Afghanistan. And then we got to get rid of that Taliban. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why they're leaving there. Could be because there's estimates that 1 million people have been killed there as well. But we never really get those numbers. Oh, and don't forget the trillions. Oh, what is it, about $7 trillion now spent on the Afghan and Iraq wars to bring peace and prosperity as our nation goes down the toilet? Yep. And where else did they come from? Iraq. Yeah, only 1 million dead there. And that country destroyed. In Syria, about 300,000. And they're trying to fix the refugee crisis by ramping up more war. It's an insane asylum. It's the age of stupid. And we're being run and led by the stupid in charge. And there's no outrage. No. And when you listen to the presidential reality show, what do they say? I'm going to get even tougher than that other guy. You want to know what tough looks like? Yep. So here we are. It looks like it's going to be Trump or Clinton. Almost a sure deal. And it's going to be a toss-up, by the way. You know, we wrote this line back in April of 2015 when we forecast the presidential reality show and wrote about all the contestants, just some of the contestants that we've forgotten about already. Huckabee, Lindsey Graham, Carly Fiorina, a whole cast of them. Rand Paul. So here's our forecast. If the election were held today and Hillary Clinton survives the cash for influence scandal, we forecast Clinton as the winner. On issues of gay rights, women's rights, and abortion, Cruz, Paul, Rubio, Carson, Fiorina, and Huckabee will find weak support among a sizable portion of women voters. with all the candidates, including Clinton, on the same war page, and none presenting strong and unique economic policies to truly create jobs and increase wages, what separates Clinton from the guys is the girls. We have in parentheses, Chelsea Clinton, female president, will make a substantive difference. End quote, USA Today, April 10th, 2015. In the 2008 presidential election, 70.4 million women cast ballots versus 60.7 million men. In the 2012 race, Obama won the two-party vote among female voters by 12 points, 56% to 44%. And we also had forecast that Clinton would be. And when the race heats up and the real dirt starts slinging, you're going to see a lot of stuff coming out against Trump. Not only on the misogynist women end, but as they will claim him to be, and I'm not categorizing it. I'm just saying that's what the attack is going to be. And also, you're going to see a lot of dirty deals coming out, you know, I believe they're going to start pulling out from Trump's past. So this campaign 2016 will go down as probably the dirtiest, vile, low-life presidential race for the White House in modern history. Because now, Hillary, again, that's cash for influence when she was Secretary of State, cutting deals with arms shipments from major manufacturers in the United States to Saudi Arabia, rewriting laws to make them happen or bending them as they reported to be, allegedly, but not allegedly getting great contributions in the millions of dollars from the Saudis, from military companies, the military industrial complex that went into the Clinton Foundation. So the dirt is really going to be slinging. It will be the dirtiest race for the White House, again, probably in our lifetime and in the 20th, and not only, of course, we're only in the 16th year of the 21st century, probably. C'è la luna, mezza mare, mamma mia, 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 mia. Figli mia, cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Up against it somehow. Mike.
Gerald, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the static is. You want to, I'm just going to call you back on Skype. I played music because it's having a hard time hearing you, all right?
Yeah. It's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the baker boy, he will... Hello.
Hello. All right. It sounds better.
Okay.
Give me 5 seconds.
If you marry the baker boy, he'll have the cannoli in his hand. Oh, my, my. All right. Yeah, a little technical difficulties here. And I hope we're sounding all right now. And, so the situation on the world stage is quite gloomy. And on the economic stage, it's not much better. Let's look at what happened yesterday with retail sales. They were way
readjusted back in January. They showed a rise initially, about 0.4%. And now they revised that downward to minus 0.2%. I say that because it's very important. 70% of America's GDP is consumer-based. And if the consumer's not buying because they sent our manufacturing overseas, and again, Trump promises to bring that back, and that's going to be a huge populist movement, by the way, and people want manufacturing back. Whether his plans to bring it back are going to work is one thing, but his promise is very, very, very solidly heard by so many people, because manufacturing allowed people that didn't have education, whether they could afford it, didn't want it, didn't have the means to, the desire to get it, regardless, manufacturing jobs paid living wages. So his promise to bring that back is a huge one. But going back to the retail numbers, you can see they keep the new retail numbers were again soft for February, revised downward from a rise in January, and now we're looking at GDP growth, if it's lucky to be around 1.8% this first quarter. So there's no recovery. And the markets are only going up on Federal Reserve and central bank moves to juice it. Again, unprecedented in world history. There's never been such a thing as negative interest rates. $7 trillion of bonds are being sold with negative bond yields, meaning that if you hold on to them until their date of maturity, you get back less money than you loaned out for the bonds. How can this be? So going back to the data, there is no recovery. It's a total cover-up. And none of the presidential candidates have a plan. And again, Trump's plan is going to resonate. I'm going to force Apple to make their phones over here. Yay! And it's true. Companies are leaving, going overseas one after another. But the plans that they have are not going to work. How to restore it is very simple. You put back into place the laws that existed before they deregulated them, such as the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act, the tariffs that were put in place before NAFTA, the Trans-Pacific Partnership that they're trying to push through now. They're becoming more and more doubtful, particularly in this election year. So there is a movement to bring it back. But again, when you look at the economic data, it's very sad and very sorrowful. There is no recovery. The facts speak for themselves. The markets now are on hold. And you know why they're on hold right now? They're actually waiting for today. The Fed has been meeting, the Federal Reserve. They're waiting to see what they have to say. So everything's on hold until we hear how the Federal Reserve meeting minutes come out later today. So it has nothing to do with the stock market rising or falling on the strength of GDP, on the strength of retail sales, on the strength of imports or exports. It's all being based on what the central banks are going to do. This has nothing to do with capitalism. It's bankism as clear as day. And no one wants to call it that. Our future has been robbed from us. Again, we have no place to put our money if we're fortunate to have a few extra bucks to save. It's a takeover. A complete takeover in front of everybody's eyes. The bankers have murdered Wall Street. So people ask me, so what should I do on the investment end? And we don't give investment advice. But here's what we're saying. You know, one of the reasons why the, quote, that investment community, those people that you hear on CNBC and Fox Business and Bloomberg, they always say, well, gold's a bad investment. You don't get anything in return on your money. Okay, Junior, let's figure this out. Guess what? You don't get a return on your cash now if you put it in the bank. That's right. It just lays there. And you get nothing for it. Why even keep it there? So now that argument doesn't hold anymore. If you hold on to cash, you're not getting any return for it. So what is cash? Well, cash are dollars, and cash are loonies, and they're Aussie dollars, and they're Brazilian reals, and Russian rubles, and South African rand, and rupiah, and rupees, and on and on and on. Do you want to hold those? With it getting devalued? Or would you rather hold gold? Again, with interest rates among developed nations in negative or near negative territory, or near low territory, holding cash yields nada. So thus that argument for owning gold no longer holds. And again, as trend forecasters, I want to make this really clear. We do not provide financial advice. We forecast, however, that ultimately the negative interest rate scheme that has become the new abnormal will not revive these sagging economies. It has not done it. Quantitative easing has not done it. And by the way, last week, when they announced the European Central Bank a new round of quantitative easing, they were buying €60 billion euros a month worth of government bonds. They're so desperate, they've now increased that number to $80 billion a month, buying not only government bonds, but you ready for this? Corporate bonds. It's a takeover. The merger of state and corporate powers is called fascism. They're buying corporate bonds. It's now at a rate of 80 billion euros a month with no end in sight. So going back to gold, negative interest rates, speaking only for myself, and the motto of the Trends Journal is think for yourself. Why would I want to hold on to currencies that are being devalued by the massive amounts that they are producing? Digital money backed by nothing, and printed on nothing. Matter of fact, they're trying, as you well know, to do away with high denomination bills, which they call $100 and a 500 euro note. a high bill because, you know, those terrorists are using them and drug dealers. No, they're trying to make it a cashless society so they could watch every penny that we have and get all the dough that they could steal from us because everything is now being would be processed electronically and you'd have a trail of it. So, our forecast holds. We remain bullish on gold as a safe haven asset in this climate of currency manipulation and market turmoil. And we also maintain our forecast that for gold to go higher, it's now trading in the 1230 range. So it's showing a bit of weakness. It has to trade strongly above the 1280, 1290 mark, move toward $1,400 an ounce. When and if it moves to that level and stays strongly above 1400, we believe the next breakout point is going to be in the 2000 mark. That's where we see it going. Because this whole Ponzi scheme that has been created by the central banks has created, you're estimating, some $220 trillion bubble that's been built up since this whole scam has begun with these low interest rates and borrowing. We have, just for example, in China alone, their debt levels gone from $500 billion 20 years ago to over $30 trillion today, private and public debt. $500 billion to $30 trillion in 20 years. You look at the data of the soft economic growth in Europe. You look at the shipping indexes, particularly between Europe and Asia. The cost of shipping is at all-time lows for containers. So the data doesn't lie. The liars do. There's going to be, we forecast, in the panic of 2016, great economic turmoil at home and abroad. From luxury down to Walmart and dollar stores. People have less and less money to spend. It's showing up in the retail numbers. And again, to show you how much of a fraud this whole thing is, go back to just, you know, the beginning of the month when they came out with the new employment numbers, job growth numbers for February. They showed an estimated 55,000 jobs created in the retail sector. How can this be when retail sales were down last month and the month before? You hire more people as your retail sales are going down? As the president of Gallup poll said, to paraphrase him, but very close to, he said these employment numbers are a lie. Now that's not some radical group. That's Gallup. They're a lie. They make absolutely no sense. We have retail sales declining. You go back to the Christmas sales, a dismal Christmas retail year. And they claim that in 2015, 339,000 retail jobs were created. How can they create jobs like that in a declining retail sector? And just to put that into perspective, they pay lousy wages. They're not living wages, but even bragging about it. And you see the lines coming out from all of these people, most of them, speaking about strong job growth. Strong job growth, yeah. How about income growth? It stinks. Last round was negative. Again, 51% of the population is earning under $30,000 a year. A minority of the people now live in the middle class. And it just keeps getting worse. So we're looking at a situation when you look at the economies, for example, around the world, they're downgrading debt in most of the oil-rich nations, one after another. There's a commodity crisis. They just came out with a report today, and the UK, they downgraded their forecast to growth to 2%. That's virtually no growth at all, because you know that number is cooked. Rising risks rising across Saudi Arabia's banking system. This is today's news. Moody's announced that it was downgrading Saudi Arabia's banking system from stable to negative. And you know why, of course. The price of oil has gone from $114 a barrel in June in 2014 to around $38 a barrel for Brent crude today. And Saudi Arabia needs Brent at over $100 a barrel to break even. And you go out throughout the Middle East, it's the same story. Go out throughout Africa, Nigeria, big oil producer. They're all in trouble. And then you go back to Saudi Arabia, and they have that murderous war with the help of the United States that's providing it the armaments, slaughtering the people in Yemen with no outrage. But hey, making money for the military-industrial complex. So here they're doing exactly what they should not be doing as their economies decline. They keep increasing the war efforts, extending it to greater lengths, driving and beating the war drums louder throughout the Middle East. So we're at a very critical stage right now. Again, not a peep about peace from any of the politicians. Their only solution to war is more of it. Yep. So thank you very much again for tuning in today. Stay on top of the trends and ahead of the news. Consider coming to our website, trendsresearch.com, to get history before it happens. And remember your role in making things happen. One man and woman of courage makes a majority, to paraphrase Jackson. So, and of course, that great quote, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, Samuel Adams. And the people listening to Progressive Radio Network are that minority. This is Gerald Celente, and that's some of the trends this week.